Velasco Giron against Holder is our next case for argument. Mr. Matreya.
Morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court, Rajiv Matreya for the petitioner. Mere intercourse with an individual just one day under the age of 18 in violation of California Penal Code 261.5C is not a crime under federal law. It is not a crime in over 40 states, and it can be just a misdemeanor under California law, as was the case here. Such a crime cannot be classified as an aggravated felony for immigration purposes as sexual abuse of a minor. Now, it's undisputed that only a categorical analysis of this crime is relevant here. That is, all that this court must focus on is the minimum, least objectionable, most benign conduct that could possibly violate the statute. And that categorical view of my client's misdemeanor must be measured against the common contemporary understanding of what sexual abuse of a minor is. That common understanding is what must ultimately prevail under this court's precedence.
I'm not sure I follow common understanding. Why isn't this a question for the Board of Immigration Appeals? This is language in the immigration statute, and the Supreme Court says that Chevron applies. We've held that Chevron applies. The question is not what the man in the street thinks, it seems to me. The question is what the board thinks.
Well, Your Honor, Chevron applies only to the board's pronouncements that carry the force of law. Now, the government doesn't argue here that the decision below, the board's actual adjudication of my client's offense, carries the force of law, and it doesn't under the board's regulations.
I'm totally lost. This was a particular non-precedential decision, but the board has handled this question in precedential decisions, and we held in Gatom and Gasikov that those things are subject to Chevron deference. Now, the board's decision in its older precedential decisions doesn't go away just because it's being applied summarily in your client's case. So why should we ignore Chevron?
Certainly, Your Honor, but in both Gatom and in Gasikov, and in Rodriguez itself, the BIA decision that I think Your Honor has in mind, the board and this court have been very clear that the term sexual abuse of a minor has not been defined by the board. All that the board has done is issue what this court called an interpretive touchstone, a general guideline as to how that statutory term should be.
It's using a standard rather than a rule. But there's no part of the Chevron doctrine that says it doesn't apply to administrative standards, that only rules count.
But, Your Honor, even if Chevron deference applied to Rodriguez, as this court has, of course, held, this court has also made clear that because it's just a guideline, ultimately the contemporary common understanding is what must prevail. And if the guideline comes into tension with that general understanding, it's the general common understanding that must prevail.
Understanding of whom? Members of the board? Aliens who have committed sex offenses?
It's the general, ordinary, common understanding that would govern in any question of statutory.
General, ordinary, common understanding. Well, there are different potential interpretive communities. Who do you have in mind?
Well, Your Honor, I think it's highly relevant, as we make clear in our papers, that the overwhelming majority of states don't penalize this conduct. It's entirely illegal. And this court has itself, in the Thomas case, looked to such nationwide practice when classifying whether a crime is categorically violent. The inquiry should be no different when it's categorically abusive. Now, of course, we have the issue of deference here, which wasn't present in Thomas, but the fact that the board has not defined the term, has only talked generally about guidelines for the term, and even made clear in Rodriguez itself that subsequent panels of the BIA retain discretion to define the term when applying it. And because this court has said that the term should be given meaning on a case-by-case basis, What the board said in Rodriguez-Rodriguez, even granting a deference, does not resolve this case. This case ultimately needs to turn on whether sexual abuse of a minor, as that term is generally understood, includes mere intercourse with an individual just a day under the age of 18, as was a misdemeanor under California law in this case.
Well, you're saying a day under age 18. I thought she was a lot younger than that.
Your Honor, the victim's actual age here is irrelevant because...
Well, you keep saying it. That's why I'm wondering. You say it's irrelevant. I think when you keep talking about a common understanding and things like that, it keeps reflecting on what happened here. Now, I know this is touchy because, you know, they say, well, gee, they're just sort of consensual. The unusual thing here is that the father intervened. He obviously didn't like this relationship, and apparently the guy wouldn't go away, so he calls the cops, and they arrest him, and he gets, you know, charged with this violation. Now, I don't know what you mean by common understanding. Maybe it's uncommon for a father to jump in and do what a father's probably supposed to do.
Regardless of whether that's common there, Your Honor, the question is whether that would be commonly thought of as sexual abuse. But more generally, the facts that Your Honor was discussing are not relevant here because a categorical analysis requires looking only at the crime itself. Now, there is a modified categorical analysis that can apply in these sorts of cases, but it wasn't applied below, and the government hasn't argued for it. And even if it could apply, it just would allow looking at the criminal record, the charging documents. And those facts that Your Honor mentions are not part of those documents. So, though I see where Your Honor is coming from, it ultimately doesn't bear upon the result in this case. The government, in defending the agency's decision below, does argue that there's some social science evidence that might suggest this crime was abusive. But as we explained in our papers, that social science evidence is out of bounds under the Chenery Doctrine. And in any event, it doesn't even support the government's position because it concerned younger adolescents, not teenagers just under the age of 18, which, again, is what's relevant here. Another point that's highly relevant, we think, is the fact that my client's crime was just a misdemeanor under California law. And the government has no response to that on the merits. And it's, I think, quite clear under the Supreme Court's cases, Carachuri-Rosendo and Lopez, that factor is highly relevant today to whether a crime is an aggravated felony under the INA. If the Court has no further questions at this time, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Counsel. Ms. Kinney.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Jennifer Kinney for the government. This petition for review should be denied because Velasco Guerin has failed to demonstrate, as he must, that he's statutorily eligible for cancellation of removal. He's already conceded that he's deportable based
on... Well, what weight did the board give to the way in which California treated this offense?
As far as it being a misdemeanor versus a felony, is that what you're getting at? Or I'm not sure what you're... Well, the board...
But what did California do?
They convicted him under 261.5C.
Of a misdemeanor.
It appears based
on... And what was the punishment? What do you mean it appears?
Well, we don't have the full criminal record
here. What
was
the punishment?
We don't know. It's not in the record. There's no criminal document in the record reflecting what the actual punishment was. Petitioner, in his affidavit, asserts that he got probation, but there's no... corroboration under the criminal documents to demonstrate that that's in fact what he got.
So how did the board decide to evaluate the California punishment?
Well,
did it accept his statement that he just received probation or what?
They didn't consider the sentence in their decision. They looked at the statute categorically and determined that sexual intercourse with a minor who is more than 3 years younger than the perpetrator constitutes sexual abuse of a minor, and that's consistent. It's consistent with the published board decision in matter of Rodriguez-Rodriguez.
I don't think
in this course.
It's consistent with Rodriguez. Rodriguez says the severity of the penalty for a conviction under the statute demonstrates that Texas considers the crime to be serious. Now, that is a material part of the Rodriguez opinion. And apparently that suggests, by Rodriguez, that the board considers the gravity of the crime under state law to be material.
Well, both the board and this court have held that a misdemeanor conviction for sexual abuse of a minor can be an aggravated felony under the INA. We have published board decision on that, and this court as well. So it wasn't.
But how does that square? If the board in Rodriguez, which is the precedential decision, that says the severity of the penalty for conviction under this statute demonstrates that Texas considers the crime to be serious, doesn't it follow as a matter of logic that if California considers the crime to be unserious, that should be considered, that that's relevant? Would you agree that it's relevant?
It might be, but petitioner
what
never...
What do you mean it might be?
Well,
if the severity of the punishment is relevant to deciding whether this is sexual abuse, why wouldn't the lenity of the punishment or the lenity of the fact just a misdemeanor, why wouldn't that weigh in the other direction?
The reason I say maybe is that if petitioner had raised this to the board as a concern to argue that he had gotten such a minimal sentence and that that should weigh somehow against this being a crime or a sexual abuse of a minor aggravated felony offense, then the board should have addressed that issue. But as I've already said, the board and this court, it was already a decided issue that a misdemeanor.
So you're saying that if he didn't point out that it was a misdemeanor or what?
No, he said that his conviction was a misdemeanor conviction, but he was arguing to the board that it should depart from its decision in Rodriguez and embrace the Ninth Circuit's en banc decision in Estrada.
Okay, but that's a separate point. Rodriguez certainly gives weight to how the state deals with the crime.
I believe that's one factor. There's many factors that are weighted.
Yes, that's one factor. Why isn't that very important?
I'm not saying it's not very important. I'm
especially
saying that
especially in a case in which, is this related to Judge Mannion's question, in which instead of looking at the actual age of the girl, they treat it as a, you know, categorically. And so we pretend that she's, you know, one day short of 18. Shouldn't that get some weight from the board?
Well, I think the starting point is to look at what the interpretation that was adopted in Rodriguez. And in that interpretation, the crime at issue here neatly falls within it, the use of a child to engage in sexually explicit conduct. The board defined sexual abuse as illegal sexual acts performed against a minor. In this case, in order to be convicted, petitioner had.
Are you saying that any violation involving any legal violation involving sex is sexual abuse within, according to the board?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What is its position?
This was against
what
a minor.
What is its position? I said.
I don't understand. I mean,
what is its position?
It's interpreted
anything involving a minor?
No, it has not found that. And
its position?
I don't know what the outlying aspects of its position are. I'm looking at this statute alone.
I thought Rodriguez said the board would generally adopt the definition in section 3509A8. Is that
no, it didn't
mistaken?
Say that.
That's
no,
correct.
That's
I mean, it has.
That is not correct. That is not.
That it's not going to interpret
it
sexual
abuse. It
said
it was going to be a guide. And then it goes on and it discusses these other things, like how state law treats it, right?
Right, but by looking at the guide, the crime at issue here neatly falls within it. We're not just talking about mere intercourse between two individuals. It requires a greater than 3-year age difference.
Mere intercourse.
This court in Gateem and Gastock, Gateem in particular.
You don't seem to have any. You are not able to provide us with a definition with a conception, a list of what kind of sexual conduct involved. I mean, what if you swear at a child? What if you said to a child, "You're beautiful. I'd like to have sex with you," and that's the end of it.
Well, under Gateem,
she runs away.
Right,
he does nothing.
Under
so
this,
is that Is that sexual abuse within the meaning of a statute in which the other two terms are murder and rape, right? Murder, rape, and sexual abuse. Does that mean anything involving sex and a minor is to be compared to murder and rape?
No, I think it
What about my hypothetical example?
This court in Gateem.
What about my example?
Right, this court in Gateem.
Don't tell me this court. I gave you an example. My example is some vulgar man says to a minor, a 15-year-old, we'll say, "You're beautiful, I want to have sex with you." And she's horrified and she runs away. He doesn't do anything. Now, is that sexual abuse
when it's
within the meaning of this, of the board, whatever the board is thinking?
When it includes
don't qualify it. I gave you a complete description.
I don't know. The board hasn't decided that exact issue. I don't know what the statute is. I don't know what the elements would be in that.
Well, what's
that
the
crime.
Basis on which it decided this exact issue? That if a,
it
that
looked
if a girl
at the,
who's, you know, 18 years minus one day has sex with a 21-year-old, that's sexual abuse comparable to murder or rape?
Well, in terms of comparable to murder and rape, the board has looked at those terms and decided that the crime, sexual abuse of a minor, or the aggravated felony offense of sexual abuse of a minor, is seen by Congress as egregious as that. It does not mean that the crime itself has to rise to the same severity as rape and murder. The board's definition or interpretation in matter of Rodriguez-Rodriguez has been deemed as reasonable. And again, the statute at issue here, where you have intercourse with a minor who is more than 3 years older or younger than the perpetrator, neatly falls within that definition. We're not here, it's not dealing with just a "you're beautiful, let's have sex." He was convicted under California statute, which requires that he has knowledge that she's a minor. He engaged willingly in that conduct. Is that my time, or do I have?
You have 1 minute left.
Okay. So I believe that this statute falls neatly within it. What the parameters or the outlying cases are, we don't know. That's why the board interpreted or adopted an interpretation under 3509 so that it could engage in a case-by-case analysis. But in this circumstance, under this statute, it neatly falls within that definition. If you have no further questions, you should affirm the petition for review.
Thank you. Anything further, counsel?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. A few quick points. One, the government had mentioned a few times the age disparity that's required under California law, but the board in the decision below placed no emphasis on the age disparity. The extent of the board's analysis was that the victim in this crime needed to be under the age of 18. So, again, under the Chenery Doctrine, it's too late for the age disparity to enter the picture. And even if age disparity was part of the analysis, California law remains an outlier here. Still, over 40 states, even including the age disparity, do not penalize this conduct, and federal law doesn't penalize this conduct. So the age disparity shouldn't affect the result here. As far as this court's past precedents, and indeed the past precedents of all courts, no court has held that mere intercourse with an individual a day under the age of 18 is sexual abuse. This court would be the first, and 11 Ninth Circuit judges unanimously held that this exact crime at issue is not sexual abuse of a minor. And that decision is one with which this court would create a split with if it were to find for the government and affirm the decision below here. The government does not deny how important it is to have uniformity in the immigration context and does not deny the damaging consequences that could result from a split on this issue. The government is just content to rely on what it says is a mere application of the definition in Rodriguez-Rodriguez. But as this court has noted, it wasn't just a definition, and Rodriguez-Rodriguez itself makes that quite clear, I think. If the court has no further questions, I thank you and ask you to reverse the decision below.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.